The continuing resolution that's now funding the government expires in a little over a week. Congress has until then to avert a shutdown, either with another CR or with a 2011 budget. Barry Anderson is the former acting director of the Congressional Budget Office. He was at the Office of Management and Budget during the protracted shutdown of 1995 and 1996. He says up until a couple weeks ago, he thought the chances of a shutdown this year were close to zero.
I thought nobody wanted a shutdown. I thought in particularly the House Republicans had learned the lesson from 95-96 and didn't want to shut down. I was surprised to have a good friend up on the Hill call me up and said, oh, I think there's going to be a shutdown. I said, why? He said, because the Democrats want it. I said, what? I said, oh, yes. They believe that it will be a political victory to have a shutdown, that the Republicans, particularly Boehner, will be blamed and that they will come out ahead. They are just as happy to have a shutdown as not.
John Cooney was OMB's general counsel during the shutdown. He says the OMB plan is designed to allow the president to follow the law during a budget impasse, but it's just as much a political tool as a practical one. He should know. He helped design the plan when it was first written during the Reagan years. He says when the administration starts calling agency heads to tell them to send their people home, it'll go something like this.
The first person who will get that call will be the director of the National Park Service. The White House really wants the Washington Monument and everything else shut down. We spent a disproportionate amount of time arguing about the Smithsonian because the Smithsonian has both public funding and private funding, and the White House was battling furiously with them to shut down the Smithsonian, small though it is, because they knew that that would generate publicity for part of the campaign to try to persuade the public that the president was right and that the Congress was wrong. And look at the consequences for ordinary people who spent years saving to send that eighth grade class to Washington, and now these poor kids are stuck out in the cold.
Anderson and Cooney both spoke yesterday on a panel hosted by the Professional Services Council, designed to let contractors know what to expect if there is a shutdown and how to prepare. Because of the politics involved, Cooney says feds and contractors should expect to see some decisions that don't appear to make a lot of sense from a good government standpoint. But he says OMB will still have to make a lot of difficult, practical decisions, some of them in uncharted territory. One major difference compared to 1995, he says, is the makeup of the workforce. The ratio of GS employees to contractors looks very different today than it did 15 years ago.
You could be at the Department of Homeland Security and there might be 10 GS workers in a room and 200 contract employees doing the same functions. That's new, and that's going to be difficult for the government to handle because the system was essentially designed to send home GS workers when the shutdowns occurred, and contractors were thought of people who were providing goods. Not really services, but hard physical products, much easier to deal with.
He says a second major difference is the IT landscape. If a shutdown does happen, agencies and OMB will have to decide what agency functions are affected and which ones are exempt. Those functions are frequently mingled together on one website, sometimes mixed between a single contractor.
So much more information about the government and that the government sends out to people is done over the internet these days. And the IT function is going to be critical if there's a shutdown. And the OMB is going to have to think long and hard about what they do when the same computer system, the same website might be supporting a portfolio of accepted and non-accepted functions. And how is it going to try to draw the dividing line? Are you going to shut off the portion of the HHS website that tells seniors how to sign up for Medicare when they reach 65? You know that you're going to have the mechanism by which they can sign up for Medicare and still get benefits is going to be running. But what about the PR aspects? What about the long-term planning? If the balloon goes up and there's a shutdown, that's going to be an enormous problem.
Cooney says there are a handful of basic questions OMB has to ask about federal contracts in order to decide whether they're exempt from shutdown or not. One of them is relatively easy. If a contract is funded by a multi-year appropriation or a no-year appropriation, the shutdown has no effect. If it's specifically authorized by law as not needing a specific appropriation, it's exempt. But Cooney says those are very, very few and far between. Another test is whether a program is related to the safety of life or property to some significant degree.
That is, it's not pie in the sky. It's not 20 years from now we'll have a new Joint Strike Fighter, and that fighter will be necessary to protect the national security. The people who are trying to design the wing of the Joint Strike Fighter probably will not be covered, but the people who are buying ammunition that's going to be end up being sent to Afghanistan in a couple of months probably are going to end up being protected, because there is a significant degree of direct relationship between what they're doing today and the protection of human life or the protection of human property.
As for working during a shutdown, the government is not allowed to accept voluntary work from federal employees. Likewise, it can't use contractors to take the place of furloughed federal workers. Alan Shvatkin, the executive vice president at the Professional Services Council, says contractors generally shouldn't work during a shutdown, at least not if they expect to get paid, even if the contracting agency asks.
Be very careful about those circumstances when the customer says, I really need this, we'll sort it out later, or trust me, I think we can get this taken care of after the fact, because you're at risk. Continuing to work when there is no availability of funds could mean you will not be compensated for it.
On the other hand, he says contractors generally can be compensated for the costs of winding down a contract and putting it on pause for the duration of a shutdown, and the costs of getting the program back up and running again. He says contractors need to keep careful records of those costs. Cooney says even contractors whose work is exempt from the shutdown need to keep in mind that if their workspaces are in federal facilities, they may not be able to get in during a furlough. He says contractors also need to make sure they keep their employees posted on day-to-day shutdown status.
The problem for contractors may be that there may be no GS employees around to give you physical access to your work site. The only people there will be the guards for the property, and they will be under instructions to turn people away unless they can prove somehow that they're accepted. So that's among the reasons that you need to be very prepared, is that your workforce may show up and be barred from the building. So if it looks as if shutdowns are coming, you are going to need to have some kind of plan, the way you would have to notify them on snow days or other times when they're furloughed from work, because the OMB and the White House often will not pass the word to your agency until late in the evening. As to whether people were supposed to come in the next day or not.
All three experts hasten to point out that each agency and each contract is somewhat different. They say the first and best piece of advice for contractors is to keep in close touch with their agency contracting officer if it looks like a shutdown is imminent. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.